Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I pray with you. Have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So I also want to mention here some extra information. For those of you that want a copy of the messages, they are 75 cents per dozen. If you want a Record of Nephi book, it is $8 for the book. If you want to send your request, your money in and by writing or by money order, whatever, write to the Church of Christ Elijah Message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is the Church of Christ with the Elijah Message, Independence, Missouri, 608 Lacey Road. The zip code is 64050. If you want to call, call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get no one at that number, call area code 816-252-2343. It is area code 816-252-2343. The fax number is 816-252-0143. So without further ado, for those who are listening, hey, would you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we are grateful this day, Lord God, that you have blessed us and given us this opportunity to join together again into the Word of God. Father, we pray today, Lord God, that you would bless us with understanding, allow your Spirit to teach us, to educate us, to build us up, to strengthen us, to point us into the direction that's pleasing unto you, to reveal the things to us that is dark to us. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for this blessing. We thank you for blessing us in this way and giving us the strength and understanding. And let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened and giving us the spirit of revelation in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today, I want to come with the word of God today. And this word is going to not only Christians, but specific ones. Hallelujah. And the title of this message has a question. And the title is Midnight Cry. What measure of faith does Jesus commend? The Midnight Cry. What measure of faith does Jesus commend? When you look at the word commend, and let's say you go to Webster and say, Lord, say, Webster, what does the word commend mean? Well, Webster said, I can give you three definitions, but the one that fits what we're talking about today, the word commend means to recommend as worthy of confidence or notice. To recommend as worthy of confidence or notice. So what measure of faith does the Lord consider worthy of being noticed? Where he speaks on it, about it, lifts it up. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. Remember in the word in the Bible, in Luke 14, God said, he that humble himself shall be exalted. Amen. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost already before I can even get started. Good. And so what measure of faith, according to, now remember, the start of this name of this title is the midnight cry. And remember, Jesus sending the angel, the Elijah, to make this cry in the midnight hour, which is the last hour before Christ's return, is the midnight cry. Okay? So this cry of this word that he's bringing from the presence of God is of the under the midnight cry. So in this final hour, through these messages, the Lord is speaking on different things. And this is one of the things where God is answering this question. In this midnight hour, Lord, what measure of faith do you commend? What measure of faith does the Lord speaks to show us that it should be given notice of? The faith that he would exalt. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And by us knowing this answer, if those of us who have not obtained to that measure, this is the goal that we need to get to. You understand that? Now, in the Bible, in the Bible, in Romans chapter 12, and I believe it's Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Lord tells us in that scripture that as believers, we all were given a measure of faith. A measure of faith. So every believer starting off was given a measure of faith. God is not showing favoritism over one and being biased over the other. We all was starting off with the same measure. The same measure of faith. Now, after we have been given that same measure, what we do with it is on us. Whether we cultivate it, that it may grow, do what we need to make it grow. You know, the Word of God gives us pointers and instructions on how to help this faith grow, how to help this faith be strengthened, okay? And it's up to us to apply these instructions. Now, if we choose not to apply, then guess what? There's no growth. There's no movement, okay? But he does answer the question, what measure? Now, when you read in the Word of God, especially, you will notice that there are different measures talked about in the Bible, okay? There is, or in the Word of God, it talks about this in the Bible, it talks about the Word of the Lord, the Record of Nephi. So not just the Bible, but in the Word of God as a whole, in all three books. There are different measures talked about. There is no faith, but no faith is exactly what it is, no faith. Then there's, in the scriptures where Jesus mentioned little faith. And then there are scriptures where Jesus mentioned great faith. And then there's scriptures where it mentions a greater faith, okay? So there are different measures of faith. And what we're looking at is one that where Jesus really speaks about in giving notice of, that he speaks on it to grab the attention of others. I'm talking about his people. Hallelujah. When we understand this as Christians as a whole, then we can see the goal that if those of us that have not obtained that goal of that measure, we know the goal to get to that will cause Jesus to speak and commend us or speak of us in such a way not to lift us up over people and over himself, amen, but to show his approval. See, that's the thing, to show his approval of what we're operating in. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Hallelujah. And we're going to get to the answer of this as I read to you from one of the messages. The Lord is going to answer this question. What measure of faith does Jesus commend? What measure of faith does Jesus commend? Now, this is very important, people, because once again, by us knowing this, from the word, we know the goal. Now, there are some of us that have reached this goal, okay? And you're going to hear about it in a minute. But here, I'm here to tell you, as Christians, we all have not reached this goal, okay? We all not haven't reached this goal. Some of us have, some of us haven't. Amen? But we're going to see in this modern day word that Jesus is sending through the Elijah, this word that is to cause all Christendom to come together. He's going to answer the question, what measure of faith does he commend? Does he speak that should be taken notice of? That he's telling us it should be taken notice of this, and that he has taken notice of this, and that he has showed his approval on. Now, in what is called the 69th message, July the 28th, 1947, at 3:05 a.m., Jesus decided to send his angel. And in sending the angel, he sent the angel with words for his people. And the angel of the Lord, who is ready at any beck and call of God to go, comes to earth, comes to a brother named Brother W.A. Draves, who is the scribe of the Lord, to write down what the Lord has authorized this angel, the Elijah, to tell. And one of the things he does in this 69th message, meaning the 69th time that the Lord has sent this angel, he authorized angel to tell us something that will answer this question, what measure of faith does Jesus commend in this midnight hour? Okay? And this is what he says. Thus says the Lord to the humble and obedient. Now that's the key to the humble and obedient. Okay? That's specific. To the humble, those who are operating opposite of pride, who is submissive unto the word of God, unto the hand of God, and obedient. That means they carry out and do the instructions that the Lord is telling them. Listen to what he says. He says, thus says the Lord, and one of the things, too, we want to understand that when the gift of prophecy is in operation, where the Lord speaks, when you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that prophecy is for edification, confrontation, and exhortation. So when the gift of prophecy is in operation, you can rest assured that, number one, it is the Lord speaking or giving this word, that this word is coming from the Lord, because remember, the angels of God have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is prompting him to be a spokesman for the Lord. So he starts out saying, thus says the Lord to the humble and obedient, your faith has been exceeding great. You have endured and shall find my peace in abundance. I have watched over you and preserved, even when Satan sought to destroy. Behold, it is I, even your Lord, that shall deliver you in the last day. Yea, come out of her, lest you will suffer with the ungodly, and partake of her punishments. Let your life be filled with obedience. So the measure of faith that the Lord Jesus commends is called great faith. Great faith. He commends great faith. Now remember, I just shared with you a few minutes ago that the Bible, the word of the Lord, the record of Nephi mentions different measures of faith. And so here, Jesus said through his angel, the Elijah, to the humble and obedient, he goes to commend or express his approval of a certain measure of faith where he calls it exceeding great, great faith, okay? Great faith. And he said, and this great faith, well, what we understand from these words here, it's a faith that endures. Now, when you think of the word endure, one of the things that should come to mind is a marathon runner. And a marathon runner, what he does is when he's training to run a marathon, he's not training at a point where he's running extremely fast. His training deals with endurance, where he can run at a certain pace over a long period of time. This is what makes him different from a sprinter. A sprinter is someone who's seeking to run as fast as he can at a short distance. Therefore, a sprinter put in a marathon won't last, okay? He won't last because a sprinter is used to running extremely fast at a short distance. If you put a sprinter to run like a sprinter in a marathon, he won't make it far. He won't make it far. He'll give out. Why? Because he's not trained for endurance. He's trained to run from point A to point B quick, as quick as he can get there. That's what. But a marathon runner is trained for endurance. So according to Jesus' words here, great faith endures. It endures. It continues on while it's undergoing the challenges, while it's facing the trials. And the Lord said, the ones that possess this great faith and operate in this great faith, he said, is humble and obedient. They do what the Lord say, even though they may not understand and facing these challenges at the same time, but they still do it because why? They believe the Lord Jesus. Now, remember, if we're going to travel a little deeper, we got to understand that when Jesus is talking about faith, he's not talking about any kind of faith. Now, when you break it down even further, there is a spiritual faith and there's a natural faith. Or we can put it like this. There is a God kind of faith and there's a natural faith. Now, when Jesus is talking about here that your faith is exceeding great, he's not talking about the natural faith, people. He's talking about the God kind of faith. Now, if you explore deeper about faith and this God kind of faith, how it operates, you will come to find out from Hebrews 11 and 1, or if you read the whole in Hebrews 11 chapter, which is I call the faith chapter, you will come to understand that the God kind of faith believes God at what he says and don't depend on your feelings. The God kind of faith don't depend on what you think and what you see or what you feel in order to believe God. It is believe God simply because God said it. And so when God says to the humble and obedient that your faith is exceeding great, he's saying that your faith, this God kind of faith you operate in, has endured or undergo challenges to this thing and still is there. Believe in me for what I say and not depending on what you feel. You understand that? Now, if you have some at this time will say, well, Brother Nate, wait a minute. Jesus mentions little faith and he blessed them on a little faith to a degree. But I want you to understand something. On your time, whenever you hear Jesus mention little faith, whether it's in the Bible, Word of the Lord, the Record of Nephi, and then you read what he says about great faith, I want you to take notice of what he says when he's talking about the little faith versus what he says when he talks about the great faith. In fact, remember when Peter came out walking on water, and when he started walking on water, then all of a sudden he went to sea. And he's hollering out to the Lord, Lord, save me. And so when Jesus, who blessed my Savior, talked to him, he said, wherefore did thou doubt, O thou little faith? Now, Jesus, it sounds more like a chastisement going on than a commending, than a wanting to this thing to be noticed. He's showing them that there was something wrong up in there. Yes, Peter started off believing God. But here's the difference between the little faith and the great faith. When you look up the word little, Webster even tell you the word little means brief and short in duration. That means, in other words, it don't last long, people. Just like I gave you the example of the sprinter. Okay? You put a sprinter trying to run a marathon, he ain't going to last long, people. And see, some of us is operating in little faith, and we have become comfortable with it. We believe God for a very short time, and then all of a sudden we start pointing fingers at him. God, you said you would do, and God, you didn't do it. Because our faith is little. It's like the Peter stepping out the boat and start, and all of a sudden quickly we looking up, and we looking at the circumstances, and we sink. But see, great faith endures. It's like the marathon runner. It endures. It goes through the period of time facing the challenges and still believing God. Where little faith says, I believe you this short time. Oh, I didn't stop believing you now. Because it gives out quickly, people. Just like you put that sprinter in that marathon, he's going to give out quickly. He's going to give out quickly because what? He's used to running like a 40-yard dash, whatever, in a short amount of time. He's not used to running a marathon sprinting. He's going to give out. Amen. And see, this is the type of measure of faith that the Lord commends. Okay? Some of us, we have become comfortable operating in a little measure of faith. Because you want to believe the Lord shortly so you can have something to point at him about and say what he didn't do. But see, those who choose to operate in great faith, they want to operate in this faith so they can see the hand of God move. And so they can continue to praise the Lord for what he's doing. They want to lift up the Lord. They want to elevate Christ. They want to put him up there. They want to praise him and glorify him, okay? You got some people, they're more intent on blaming God for stuff than they are want to praise him. If you're the type of person that, hey, I want to praise God. I want to lift him up in my life. I want to put him in the rightful place. Then you're going to shoot for the great faith, period. Amen. You want to shoot for the great faith, people. Hallelujah. That's what you're going to shoot for. But if you ain't trying to grow your faith to get to the great faith, and you say, well, I want to praise the Lord. Well, you don't want to praise him long. Because remember, little faith is short. It's brief in its duration. It don't last long. And see, some of us in the Christian community, we have become comfortable with little faith because we didn't get into that kind of spirit. Instead of looking at just constantly praising the Lord and lifting him up, we want to find something wrong with him. We want to say, Lord, I believe you that 1 hour and you didn't do nothing. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Let's go to the Bible here. Hallelujah. The glory. I sense the Holy Ghost behind this, people. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to go, and I'm going to read from verse 5 to verse 10. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. To verse 10. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to verse 10. Now look what it says here. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should comest under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, glory to God. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now look at verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. See, when you can do something that caused Jesus to marvel, you done did something, people. You understand that? You, when you cause him to be astonished, you done did something. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed. Now listen to what he said to them that followed. He said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, great faith, great faith. Look what he's commending. Look what he's speaking to us that should be taken notice of. This certain measure of faith that this man showed was great. He said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. If that was me in that time with the people following Jesus, and I'm not saying this to say if I be mad at Jesus, hey, but if Jesus turned to me and I'm following him and he said, you know, I have not found so great faith in all Israel, I kind of feel like I might feel a little convicted or something. Okay, because this is coming from, listen, he's answering a man that wasn't following him. But then you got people that follow him, and Jesus said, I ain't found this great faith in all Israel. I mean, you can you understand what I'm saying? When you be like, wait a minute, Lord, wow, I mean, okay. And then that would make me go reevaluate myself. Okay, you know. Wow, he called it great faith. Because see, notice Jesus commended. That's the faith. That's the measure of faith that the Lord is commending at this hour. He wants us to come out of that little faith, that brief faith, that brave faith that's short in duration, that faith that, oh, yes, Lord, I believe you on Sunday. But then Monday you come about the same thing and you going, Lord, I believe you yesterday, but you ain't come through. Well, see, you're not at the level of great faith because your faith haven't endured. That goes for you, me, or anybody else. And see, the faith, the measure that he's commending, that he's speaking highly of, is the great faith. See, some of you want to throw up, well, he's still blessed with Peter with little faith. He saved him. Yes, thank God for mercy. But once again, you need to read what he said in connection with that little faith, and take that and read it versus what he said about great faith. You didn't hear him say when he said about little faith. You didn't hear the Bible say, and Jesus marveled. No, he said he marveled about no little faith. He marveled about what? Great faith. That's what he marveled about. He marveled about great faith. See, this centurion, who is not coming for himself now. He's coming on the behalf of his servant. And he says some things interesting. Now, he gets the message of Jesus, hey, my servant is grievously tormented with this cause. Okay? And Jesus answers, said, okay, I will come and heal him. And this centurion says, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come out of my room. But I look at whatever he said after this. Now, this is what's very interesting. This is what really... just all this right here, what centurion said, captivated Christ. It just made him marvel. First thing he talks about, he said, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. I got to admit before you, I humble myself before you, Lord. See, that's not, that man was humble. See, he was a centurion. That means he was in a leadership position. See, sometimes you get people in a leadership position, they get uplifted in pride and say, yeah, I should get this. They have that kind of attitude, okay? This man was in leadership position, but he humbled himself to someone that was greater than him. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah, glory. He said, and then on top of that, to make matters even greater, go up before that, he said, Lord, just speak the word only. I'm getting this information to you, Lord, because I don't think I want you to say it. You don't even have to show first. Only thing you have to do is say it, and I know it's done. See, great faith we'll take God at his word and endure with it. See, that's a lesson to me, you, and everybody else. Great faith will take God at his word. Great faith says, Lord, just say it. Because all I need you to do is say it. Okay? And I keep speaking it through all these challenges I'm facing that's trying to keep me from believing you. Amen. So he said, Lord, just speak the word only. That's all you have to do. I don't have to see you do something. Okay? In fact, you ain't got to just move. Just say it. And I'll take you at your word. And so next thing you know, he says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes into another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do it, and he doeth it. Now notice what else he's saying here. He's telling Jesus that, Jesus, you got the greatest authority there is. He said, I'm under authority. And see, this authority I'm under can't do nothing about this sickness my servant has. And he said, then on that, I got authority that command men under me, but my authority can't do nothing about this sickness that my servant has. But your authority can. That's why all thing I want you to do is what? Speak your word. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And I thank you, Jesus. Boy, I sent the Holy Ghost on me strong about this, people. This is a measure of faith that the Lord wants his people to get to. Now, some of his people have gotten to this, praise the Lord. But every last one of us has. For many of us are still, we still stuck on the little faith. And we haven't gotten comfortable. So we want to play the blame game on God. Believe him for like 24 hours and spend the other 72 to 96 hours pointing fingers at him and telling him what he didn't do and what he said and he didn't do and doing all that. We so wrapped up in that, it's pitiful. Amen. Hallelujah. This centurion acknowledged that this earthly authority he had was nothing against what his servant was suffering. He could not, he recognized this earthly authority did not have no command over that sickness. See, Jesus' authority has command over sickness and disease. Earthly authority doesn't, people. It don't. It don't matter if you're the president of the United States. You can go up to a leukemia and say, in the name of Joe Biden, go. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Nothing. It's going to stay right there where it is. Okay? It's not moving. Your earthly authority ain't going to do nothing. And some people are stuck on their place in society and think that because of their place in society, things are supposed to automatically just go away because you are in a certain position. That ain't happening, people. And this is what this centurion was saying to Christ. He's letting them know, say, Lord, I'm in a certain leadership position, but my authority means nothing against this cause. I can't do nothing. I can't command this sickness to go under my earthly authority. My word don't carry that authority. But your word does. And that's why he told Jesus to speak the word. Because he knew that Jesus' word, listen, he knew that Jesus' word now had authority over sickness and disease. And that's why he said, and my servant shall be healed. You get that? See, that's what great faith does. It acknowledges that Christ's words has the ultimate authority. And great faith, those operating great faith, humble themselves to acknowledge that, hey, my old place of position, that earthly authority, can't do nothing with the sickness and disease. It can't do like your word can. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Like my brother Hagin say, you can say amen or oh me. Oh, I don't know. It's still so. Hallelujah. It's still so. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let's look at one more scripture. We'll go to the Nephite record here. Let's go to the record of Nephi here. And first Nephi, It's in 1 Nephi chapter 19, verse 35, record of Nephi, 3 Nephi, chapter 19, sorry, 3 Nephi, chapter 19, verse 35, okay? Now, you know that Jesus came over to this continent after his crucifixion and resurrection. And I know that for some of you, it's just hard to fathom. You think that this was too far, and you think that he still had to ride a donkey or a horse to get over here, but that ain't happening, people. That didn't have to happen. He was crucified and resurrected. He can go from boom, boom to boom. He didn't need to get on a horse or walk there, okay? And I know some of you, you just think that he just stayed around Jerusalem the whole time. But no, he didn't. Because he had a branch of the house of Israel over here, and they were people of the house of Joseph. Joseph being one of the sons of Israel, okay? His descendants was over here on this continent. So Jesus comes over here and visits the people, and they are called Nephites. And when he comes to visit them, 3 Nephi chapter 19, I'm going to read verse 34 and 35. It says, nevertheless, so great and marvelous were the words which he, which is Christ, prayed. Christ came over here, and he was praying with the people, that they cannot be written, neither can they be uttered by man. You know, everything is not given or revealed or told us, even in the Bible. The Bible lets you know there's some things that were said or done and wasn't written. Okay? So we ain't get everything, okay? We ain't get everything. And so when Jesus comes over here, he's praying with the people. And there were some things that he prayed that Nephi said that could not be written. Wow, that, I mean, that had to be some kind of power. Couldn't be written. Now, God, our Lord has his reasons. Sometimes things are not said because there's a particular time period to come forth. Okay? That's one of the reasons. Okay? But here in the Nephite record, it says, in verse 35, and it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying, came again to the disciples and said unto them, now listen to these words here. So great faith, there go that great faith again, that type of measure of faith. So great faith have I never seen among all the Jews. Wherefore, now listen to this, I could not show unto them so great miracles because of their unbelief. Wow. Woo, glory. See, great faith attracts great miracles. Oh, my God, I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great faith attracts great miracles. And Jesus said, because he had not found so great faith among all the Jews, he couldn't show them great miracles because of their unbelief. Now, remember, he did some miracles among them. Now, if he did some miracles among them, and he still said he couldn't show great miracles, did that mean he had something bigger he could have did among them, but because of their unbelief, he couldn't? Is that amazing or what? See, just when you think God had done something for you, he can do something bigger. Amen? But see, our unbelief can cause his hand to steal, and then we won't see it. But those operating in great faith will. And see, from the word of the Lord, as I read to you, he even said that you shall receive my peace and abundance. Abundance is plenty, ain't it? Amen? See, that's going to go to these three phases. Number one, you shall receive the peace of God concerning the stuff that's going on in these nations. You're going to receive the peace of God that won't be disturbing to you. You're going to receive the peace of God even concerning things you're seeing in the church. It won't disturb you. It won't cause you to walk away from Christ. You know, some things going on in the church, that's caused people to turn away from Jesus. I don't get that. That's your number one choice. I can see if you drop people, but if you drop Jesus, what you got left? I tell you, nothing. Nothing. You will receive that peace also in your home. Stuff that's going on in your home, you will receive that peace of God where it don't bother you. See, some things are going on in people's home that husbands going out there cheating on wives. Now some wives going down there cheating on husbands. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I know some of your sisters are like, now, wait a minute, brother. Oh, yeah, it's true. See, I remember back in the days, and men, please don't get mad at me when I say this, but I got to be honest about it. Not all the time, but most of the time, when it was the man and the woman, husband and wife, and somebody was doing the cheating, many times it was the man. I'm just going to be honest with you. I did not say all the time. So put your stones down and your bricks, okay? Now, in this day and time, all people, these women is catch up to the men. Now you finding out it's wives going around cheating. Yeah. It's wives having these extramarital affairs too. So now they running neck and neck with some of the men. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, now remember the Jews was God's ancient covenant people. And so for Christ to come over here to this continent and tell a branch of the house of Israel, who was of the house of Joseph, that this great faith y'all showing over here, I have not found us among all the Jews, that I couldn't even do many great miracles among them because of their unbelief. That's amazing. That's amazing. Hallelujah. But once again, we see the measure of faith that Christ commends. The measure of faith he speaks about that should be taken notice of. Great faith. Now you know, as an individual, Brother Nate ain't telling you to send me your address or your phone number. You know in what place you be at. You know that you've been, you operate a little faith. You know that you believe quick and your belief is short. And you're quick to give up. Many of us, we have taken notice of ourselves on that. And the word answers the question here. What measure of faith does Christ commend? Well, it's great faith. Not the little faith. It's great faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The great faith endures. The great faith says, Lord, speak your word. Great faith, there's humility and obedience. Amen. Hallelujah. Great faith calls Christ to marvel. Okay? And like I tell you, if you do something to cause Jesus to marvel, you didn't do yourself. Okay? I mean, hey. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the word that Jesus has given in this midnight hour to say, hey, okay, I commend this kind of faith, this measure of faith. And this is the measure that God wants his people all to come to. So, people, that should be the goal. I mean, just speaking this word to you guys on this broadcast tonight, it kind of stirred up some things in me. Some of why I'm looking at me, okay? Amen. And understanding and realizing that, hey, this is the measure that my Father wants me to come to. It show even greater faith. This is where you want me to come to. Because whether you believe it or not, God wants to bless you with the things that you need and the things that you petition him for. He wants to do that.
And sometimes I think that some of his people act as though that God don't want to do that. Like God is purposely blocking, you know, so you want to do, but that's not true. Let me tell you something. If you operate in great faith and you did been dealing with a sickness, God will heal you of that sickness. I don't care what you've been told. I don't care if the doctor them said you got a sickness that can't be cured. You got a sickness we can't do nothing about. If you operate in that great faith, God will heal you of that sickness. You understand what I'm saying? Anything that trouble, God will heal you of it. He will remove disturbances, contentions, weakness. And we operate in that great faith. He will bless you financially. You know, I was sharing with a sister the other day about the financial blessing of the Lord in this hour. And I told her, you know, this is a good time for God to bless his people financially. Because when you look all on most of the news, what are you hearing? You're hearing that we're heading to a recession. You're hearing about the economy being in bad shape. And yes, you can see some things that reflect that. You do. But here's the thing that I come to understand even more about the Lord. When God gives you a promise to bless you with something, these circumstances can't override him. You said, but what are you saying, Brother Nate? I don't care if you got a report on every news channel on your TV that we're coming, we're going to a recession, ain't no money for this and that and this and that. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus, especially when he let you know he'll supply your need and you need a financial blessing. God will have a financial blessing coming from a place, and I'm talking about even here in this nation, that you never thought of will come. And it will come from a source and a place you would never thought of. I mean, God could bless you financially. You can get a check in the mail where the light bill folks say, hey, you know what? We have been overcharging you for 2 or 3 years, and this is what you know we owe you. So we're sorry. Gas bill, same way. You can get checks from people. I mean, listen, God knows the place where the financial blessings can come from. You don't know all the places, and neither do I. Why? Because we are limited. And when we look at the news and listen to the news and stuff like that, we're told to say, hey, you know, we're in a deficit, ain't no money to be given out. And yes, you do see things that do reflect it. Just like you're hearing and seeing of restaurants been closing now. I mean, ever since the COVID hit in 2020, yes, it did do in the natural, it did put a big hit on the economy. Okay, their restaurants had to close down because one thing about it, at first, with the corona being as it was, nobody wanted to touch anything that somebody else touched. And then the corona was being caught so fast that people didn't feel comfortable going out, not even going out to eat and having the mask on. They didn't feel comfortable. And so the business couldn't survive like that. They weren't making no money, so many of them had to close down. And then you got another reason, like now. Look at the groceries and the food store. Look how high they are. You cannot, in the natural, compete with that. But see, here's the thing about the promises of God. It makes a way when it looks like there's no way. You understand what I'm saying? So this is why it's better to believe Christ, even for your financial blessing in this. This is why in this time right now, where we look at where the economic position is now, this why I said this is a great time for the Lord to bless economic or financially his people. Because right now, you start talking to certain folks about doing this and doing that. They say, man, how you going to do that? It ain't much money out there. You know, just like you hear people talking about, man, ain't hardly no jobs, man. When God knows a job for you, those of you that's listening, you may be in need of a job and you say, hey, you know, I need a job, Lord. God would open up a door for you to get a job at places you don't even think you could get at. Because why? All in the news, you hear that, hey, the jobs have become scarce. You know, people, you know, when our government try to force folks to take the shot and put up these stipulations, if you don't, you could, you know. Well, you know, a lot of people was lost out of that. They, you know, they lost their jobs because they refused to take the shot. Amen. But like I said, the Lord can open the door that no man can shut. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and God. And we thank you for, Lord, for this day you've made and created. And we thank you, Lord, for doing what you're doing. And Father, I pray that you would continue to bless your people. Hallelujah, for your glory. Strengthen them. Help them in this time. And thank you for helping me to deliver this message in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. So, Father, we would give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.